turn in our Bibles to Psalm 28. Our subject tonight is a call to judgment. A call to judgment. Let me read Psalm 28, verses 3 through 5. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, or what they deserve. In the news this week, we're hearing much about what's just and what's unjust. One side thinks they're just, and the other side's unjust. The other side thinks they're just. But fallen man at his best, fallen sinners at their best, are described in verse 3. This is not man's judgment. This is Christ's just judgment. This is Christ's judgment of things. And this is every man at his best state outside of Christ. They are the wicked. And workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. We just read in Zephaniah, from the prince all the way to the sanctuary where the priests were, everybody in authority was corrupt. Everybody. It's all men outside of Christ. It matters not what side of whatever issue a person is on. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if a person's in vain religion or they're irreligious. Outside of Christ, all sinners are wicked, workers of iniquity, speaking peace with their lips while mischief is in their hearts. That includes vainly religious, whitewashed folks, and it includes political folks. The Lord said, "The prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace." Hear what they do? They make my people err. They bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he that putteth not into their mouth, Christ didn't put the word in their mouth. He that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Everybody's included in this. Believer, this is what I want you to understand. Never look to man to determine what's just and right, and what is wrong. Never look to man. Don't look to one religious denomination or another religious denomination to determine what's right or wrong. Don't look to Democrats or Republicans to try to determine what's just and what's not just. Don't look to liberals or conservatives to try to learn and find out what is just and unjust. Don't let CNN or Fox News tell you what's just or unjust. Always remember, the way of depraved flesh is to selectively choose what he calls moral for his own profit, while overlooking what condemns him or his cause. That's the way of flesh. He always selectively chooses what he says is moral because it suits his cause, and he overlooks that which does not. God calls it working iniquity. Working that which is unequal, unjust, unrighteous. Speaking peace with the mouth while evil's in the heart. This is the only thing a depraved heart can produce. That's it. The only one who can save justly. The only one who can establish judgment and continue to do what is just and right. The only one who can do so is Christ Jesus the Lord. The only one. The only one. If a man does anything right, it's because Christ worked it. Christ worked it. He's the one who establishes judgment and justice in the earth. He did it at the cross, and he's one day going to do it in final judgment, and his kingdom, the result will be his kingdom will be a kingdom of justice. There'll be no injustice there. There'll be no iniquity there. There'll be no one side and the other side there. There'll be all one people. Just in him. The just Lord is in the midst of this place. He's in the midst of this country. He's in the midst of this earth right now. Just like He was in Zephaniah's day. The Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. He will, every morning, He'll bring His judgment to light. And He faileth not. That's the Lord. He shall not fail till He has set judgment in the earth. He shall not fail. So let's ask Christ our God, draw me not away with the wicked. Don't let me be found on one side or the other being drawn away into that mess. Draw me not away with the wicked. And I have to ask Christ to establish me in justice and draw me not away. Draw me not away. Now, since Christ alone magnifies God's justice, I want to focus tonight on how He deals with the wicked in verses 4 and 5. Now, as we read this verse in verse 4, I want you to picture Christ, the judge, calling for judgment upon the reprobate. The reprobate is a man who passes from this world never believing on Christ. That's who we're talking about here. Judgment upon the reprobate. He passes through this world never believing on Christ. Verse 4. Hear Christ speaking. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. That which is just. That which they justly deserve. Now, first of all, let me explain to you, this is not David praying as an individual for God to take revenge upon his enemies. That's not what this is. And when I say praying as an individual, when I'm alone praying, I'm praying as an individual. I'm not representing anybody. I'm just praying alone. Now, if I was to be alone and begin to pray and pray this and pray God cry down fire on my enemies because I want to see vengeance taken on them, that's what Christ tells us not to do. Christ tells us to pray for our enemies. So that's not what's taking place here. This is David writing by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. That's what this is. The prophecy came not old time by the will of man, but holy men of old of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now here's what God's doing. This is a mouthful, but this is what I want to set forth first of all, because we're going to see this throughout. God is using David, who was a king over natural Israel. He's using him as a king over natural Israel, representing natural Israel, to call on God to magnify his justice against God's enemies. That's what he's doing. It's not his enemies he's praying against. It's God's enemies he's praying against. So here he is, King David, representing natural Israel, and he's praying to God, calling on God, calling for judgment from God to magnify the justice of God upon those that reject God. And he's doing that to picture Christ, who is the judge over all, and the king over his spiritual Israel. Who in the final day shall he has magnified justice, and he shall in final judgment magnify justice against all his enemies. You get that? That's what we're going to see here. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So this psalm is a prophecy. This is a prophecy showing how Christ the judge shall magnify God's justice upon the reprobate. Just like he magnified the justice of God in the salvation of his people. There's only one that's going to magnify God's justice. That's Christ. He's going to do it two ways. He's going to do it in justice, saving his people. And he's going to magnify God's justice when he pours out wrath on the reprobate. So that's what we're beholding here. Now, hearing this, that this is about people who pass through this life, unbelievers, reprobates, this should get every unbeliever's attention that hears this. You know, if you've gone through your life to this point not believing on Christ, and you plan on going the rest of your life not believing on Christ, listen to this, because this is how God is declaring Christ shall magnify God's justice upon you. This is how God's going to magnify, Christ is going to magnify God's justice upon you. So I'd listen. I'd listen to this. It's very, very important. Now here's the first point I want us to see. God deals with the unbelieving reprobate in perfect justice. He judges the unbeliever as he wants to be judged. He judges the unbeliever the way the unbeliever wants to be judged. And he gives him exactly what he justly deserves. Look here in verse 4. Give them according to their deeds. That's how they want to be judged. They didn't want to be judged in Christ. They want to be judged according to their deeds. So Christ says, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them what's justly deserved to them. God always does what's just. He always does what's just. He never does iniquity. Not at all. Now, those who face God without faith in Christ, they don't have a mediator, they don't have the righteousness of God, and they face God without Christ, they're saying they want God to judge them according to their works. That's what an unbeliever is saying by not casting his care on Christ. He wants to be judged by his works. And that's what God will do. That's what God will meet you wherever you want to be met. That's right. If that's how a man wants it, that's how God will do it. He'll judge him according to his deeds. And not only that, now his deeds includes everything, both good and evil, that he's done. That's his deeds. And it's whether he called it good, it's still going to be judged as coming short of the glory of God. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scriptures say if we come into God's presence, we'll be judged by Christ, and we will come up wanting. There's no doubt about that. And get this, when he says there, judge them according to the wickedness of their endeavors, the endeavor is the wicked thing that a man purposed in his heart, and yet God prevented him from actually doing it. He only thought about it. He didn't actually do it. He just thought about it. He would have if he could have, but he couldn't. He just thought about it. All man's deeds, even all the thoughts of his heart, shall be found sinful. And God shall give them after the work of their hands, rendering to them their just desert. God shall give them that which they justly deserve. Listen to Revelation 13:10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. That's just, isn't it? He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. We have to wait on God to execute judgment upon the wicked. We have to wait patiently. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we're talking about forever. Death is not annihilation. Death is not you just body going into the ground, that's it, and you turn into dust. Death is your spirit going to be with God and being judged and then suffering eternity. If you meet God without Christ. So that's serious business, isn't it? That's serious business. But I want you to look at this same verse now. That same verse. And I want you to see that God judges the believer in justice too. God judges the believer in justice too. He judges us how we want to be judged. And he gives us what's just, what we justly deserve. Look here. He shall give them according to their deeds. By faith. You know what we're professing? You know what we're professing by faith? Professing by faith that we want to be judged by the deeds of Christ and not by our deeds. That's what we're professing by faith, and that's what God will do. He's going to give us according to our deeds. And Christ's deeds have been made our deeds. Whenever a believer believes on Christ, God imputes the righteousness of Christ to him because Christ already made him the righteousness of God. He justly gives him what he is by Christ's obedience. So in judgment day, God's going to give us what we deserve because of Christ's deeds. And look at this. By Christ dwelling in us, because he has come now and sanctified his people, God's going to give those who believe on Christ that which is according to the righteousness of their endeavors. What's a believer's endeavor? It's all the things that you would have done for Christ, but you just didn't have the ability to do it. You thought about it and would have wanted to do it. The motive was in your heart to do that which was right and good and just for him, but you just couldn't do it. And yet, God will say in Christ that all the deeds of the believer and all the thoughts of the believer are perfectly righteous. Totally just. God only sees His people in Christ. And He sees us perfect and right and just. Ecclesiastes 9:7, He says this. This is amazing to me. I was working on this message, and Brother Don called me. And we got to talking about something else, totally separate from the issue of justice. We were talking about Christ creating a new man within, and God imputing righteousness to us through faith and making us righteous. And Brother Don quoted this verse, and it was just the verse I needed right here in this part of my message. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Isn't that good news? God accepts. What I'm doing right now is, in myself, it's so mixed with sin. Which one is me, the old man or the new man? Both of them. And everything that old, wicked, sinful man does is sinful, and that's me doing that. And everything the new man does is righteous and holy in Christ, and that's me doing that by Christ in me, working through me by His grace. And yet, God says, I'm as righteous as Christ is, and all my works are perfect as His deeds. Because it's His deeds that He's looking to, not my deeds. And you know everything we need to be righteous, He is that. Right now I'm preaching. Who's the perfect preacher? Christ. You know, you're singing. Who's the perfect psalmist? Christ. Well, you know, you play an instrument. Who's the perfect musician? Christ. Everything we need, Christ is. Who's the perfect, faithful person sitting in the pew listening to the Word of God, His Father? Christ. So, the perfection of anything we're doing is Christ. He's everything. All our righteousness. Therefore, in the day of judgment, Christ is going to render to them, according to the work of their hands, that which is their just desert. Christ magnifies God's justice by giving His people what Christ earned for us by justifying us, which is what we justly deserve for trusting Him. Christ went to the cross and justly, in perfect righteousness, justified everybody for whom He died. And so now it's just for Him to give us life. And it's just for Him to give us, according to that righteousness, what we justly deserve. Believers have declared all their lives. When we get to final judgment, and our judgment took place on Calvary's cross, but when we get to that final judgment, believers will have gone through all our life declaring that in Christ alone we want it to be found. And in Christ alone, Christ's righteousness alone, we want it to have the praise and the glory and the honor. And so we shall have that because it's our just due by Christ's finished work. It's what's just. So you see, Christ in salvation or in condemnation, is the one who's going to magnify God's justice. Christ is, whether it's in salvation or condemnation. And sadly, unbelievers hear that, and they just go on in unbelief. Listen to this. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these God will bring thee into judgment. We're going to stand before God in judgment. That's no way anybody on this earth is going to get around that. And we're going to either magnify God's justice as a trophy of His grace by believing on Christ in this life, or we're going to magnify God's justice in condemnation when He casts us out into outer darkness forever. But one of the two, we're going to magnify God's justice. A man will say, well, God's sovereign, so it's not my fault. I just have a feeling a man's not going to open his mouth and say that day. I have a feeling he's going to be shaken so badly, all he can do is bow and confess Christ is Lord to the praise and glory of God. That's all he'll be able to do. He won't be near as bold and arrogant and hard-hearted in that day. He'll be bowing in that day. Now lastly, who will be to blame if we perish? Who will be to blame if we perish? What will be the cause that the reprobates cast out in justice? Look at verse 5. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up. The cause for this just and sudden destruction will be squarely upon the shoulders of the sinner alone. It'll be his own fault. He earned it. The wages of sin is what? Death. You know what a wage is. You ever got paid a wage without working? No, you have to work for a wage. That's something you earn. And that's what he's saying here. This would be the wage that they earn because they regarded not the works of the Lord nor the operation of His hand. Now, we saw Sunday that all things are of God. Creation, providence, and salvation, all things are of God. But I want to focus on salvation because if a man doesn't behold the works of God and the operation of His hands in salvation, he doesn't behold them in any of the others either, anything else either. Salvation. The works of the Lord, what's that? That is the work of redeeming His people from the curse of the law in a manner that is just. That's the work of His hand. Redeeming His people from the curse of the law in a way that's just. The very purpose for which Christ came to this earth, the very purpose for which the Son of God came down, was to manifest, to declare the righteousness of God. That's why I came. That's the gospel. That's what we're, our message is, the righteousness of God. God's right. Must do right. So, God the Son was made of a woman, like His brethren. He was made under the law. Proven faithful, proven without sin. And He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There was no way around that. He had to be made sin for His people, if His people would be made righteous. And the Lord finished that work. He did that work. And God's pleased with that work. And when God imputes righteousness to a believer, God's not treating him as if he's righteous. God's not saying, well, we're just going to say you're righteous. God's imputing to him what Christ made him by His own obedience. Now that's so. And so that's the work of His hand. This man who's going to meet God in judgment and be judged is a man who does not regard the sin-atoning work of Christ at the cross. He disannuls it in some way. And then the operation of His hands. What's the operation of His hand? This is the second part of this work that's necessary to save His people. It's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the heart, whereby He regenerates us and sanctifies us, and that too is through the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Titus 3. All of this is glorifying Christ in how Christ magnified the justice of God. We know that so at the cross. For some reason, men somehow don't think that that's glorifying to say that Christ does this work in the inner man. But He does. It has to be. It has to be. Look here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. This regenerating work has nothing to do with our works or our will. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. We should be created anew in life and righteousness and holiness and according to the hope of eternal life. So because He justified us at Calvary, that meant the Holy Spirit of God must come when Christ calls for Him to come in mercy. We're looking at the call of judgment. When Christ calls for the call of judgment for those He's justified, it's this: go forth and quicken that man. Go forth and regenerate that man and grant him faith and repentance to see what I've done for him. It's a must that it must be done because Christ justified him on the cross. And so everybody Christ justified, they must be born of God, they must be taught of God, and they shall all be taught of God, the Scripture said. The holy justice of God's declared in and by Christ Jesus on the cross and in the hearts of His people. The work of the heart of His people, the works of His hands and the works of the Lord, the operation of His hands. And so the blame for the unbeliever's condemnation. What's the blame then for the unbeliever's condemnation? It's his own fault because he did not believe on Christ. He regarded not the works of the Lord in and by Christ. And he regarded not the operation of His hands through Christ. Look at John 3. John 3:17. Now this will help you with this interpretation of this, because it's been so wrongly preached. God sent, verse 17, this is Christ speaking. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He was condemned before Christ came to this earth. And now, by rejecting Christ, his condemnation is made sure. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at 1 John 5:10. I can just read this to you. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, he said, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but did this, had pleasure in unrighteousness. Think about that. If you believe the truth, you know what you're doing? You're declaring, you're magnifying and declaring that Christ Himself magnified the justice of God on the cross for His people and in the sanctifying work that He does in His people. When you believe on Christ, that's what you're declaring. Christ alone justifies God. When a man doesn't believe on Christ, he's saying he doesn't believe that's so. But not only that, he delights in unrighteousness. He looks at his own works and says, well, I ought to be judged as being righteous. I've done my best. I've done the best I could do. I want to be judged an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, according to what I've done. That's delighting in unrighteousness, because everything we've ever done is unrighteous. So get this, God's going to magnify His justice by destroying the reprobate and not building them up, because they would not delight in Christ magnifying God's justice alone. They wouldn't believe on Him. They wouldn't trust Him to magnify God's justice alone. They had pleasure in their own unrighteous, self-righteous works. But you know what we do through faith in Christ? We do delight in this. We delight in what the Lord has done. We say that all we regard as our salvation is the work of His hands and the works of the Lord and the operation of His hands. That's all we regard as our salvation. I want you to look at two scriptures with me. John 3. I should have told you to hold it. Go back there, John 3. And look at verse 21. Now here's the contrast. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Now watch why we come to Christ the light. That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are worked in and by Christ our God. That's why we come to Christ. See, when the Holy Spirit's convinced you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, all fulfilled in Christ, when He's convinced you that you want Christ to be magnified, you want all your deeds to tell the world that all the deeds I'm trusting in are the deeds worked in and by Christ, who is God my Savior. That's what you want people to know. We're not trying to hide the fact that we trust only in Christ. That's what we're declaring by faith. We trust only in Christ. Listen to this, Psalm 73. Go there with me. Psalm 73, verse 28. I just want you to look at the last part of this. Psalm 78, 28. I don't know where I wrote down. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't read. Psalm 73, 28. Look at this second part. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. You see that? The act of believing Christ is declaring all his works. That's the by believing, when you're baptized, Ben, you know what you're going to be declaring? You're going to be declaring, I'm saved one way. By the works of the Lord and the operation of His hand. You're saying, by faith in Christ, I'm declaring His works were all worked to save me. He did it. Everything. That's what we declare. So this is what I'm trying to say to you, brethren. Christ is the only one that can establish this judgment and magnify the justice of God in this earth. Men have been trying for ages to create a just society. A just kingdom. Karl Marx was trying to do exactly what God's preacher is doing by the grace of God through the preaching of the gospel. He was trying to make people do what they said in Acts 2, where they didn't see everything as their own, but they saw it as all belonging to each other. And they put all their goods together and said, This is ours. It's not mine, it's ours. And if one of them falls and needs help, then they have a heart. The one that has a blessing has a heart to help him. And the one that's fallen by God's grace has a heart not to take advantage of his brother, but to get back on his feet because he wants to help the needy. You see, that's what God works in the heart, but try as a man may to replicate that. He'll end up it won't work. It won't work. Everywhere they've ever tried to do it, how did it end up? It didn't work. It doesn't work. Only Christ can establish justice, and only Christ can make a people just and make them love righteousness and make them desire to do right. And one day, that's all we will do is righteousness when we're with Him forever. So what I'm saying is don't be carried away with this vainly religious, self-righteous nation of religious folks and of political folks. Don't get carried away with that. You're not going to see justice done in this earth. If you turn the television on 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, no, 40 years ago, 40 years ago, in 1977, you would have seen, you'd have thought you was watching the same news as you watch today. Same thing. Been going on. Same exact thing. One side saying the other side's unjust, the other side saying we're just, you're unjust. And it's all unjust. Every bit of it. It's all, the love of money is the root of all evil. And it'll be that way till the last breath is taken. And then they'll stand before God and say, when did we not do many wonderful works? And he'll say, get out of here. All you've ever done is work iniquity, and you're working it right now. What I'm saying to you is look to Christ, believe on Christ, obey Christ, because in Christ alone, justice is magnified. And in Christ, His kingdom is established in righteousness. When God's going to judge this world in righteousness, He's going to do that one day. I want you to go to Revelation 19. He's done that at the cross. It's done at the cross. But one day He's going to make it manifest to everybody in the final day of judgment that He's finished judgment. But in that final judgment, He's going to make it known. And when He's cast out all the rebels in this world, cast them out into outer darkness, you know what every believer's going to do? We're going to not have any sin. Right now, you might not understand this because you have sin in you. But in that day, we're not going to have sin. We're going to be perfectly righteous. And we're going to love that which is just perfectly. And here's what the whole host is going to do when he casts out, when he magnifies his justice in condemning the reprobate. This is what we're going to do. Revelation 19:1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and He hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hands. We're going to rejoice in His judgment. We're going to rejoice when He casts out the reprobate because we're going to see how it magnifies His justice perfectly. So trust Christ. Look to Christ. Believe on Christ. If you don't believe on Christ, you don't want to be an object to magnify His justice and condemnation. We want to be an object of His grace, magnifying His justice and salvation. So go to Christ, believe on Christ, and don't stop believing on Christ. Continue in Christ. Continue looking to Him alone. And if it helps, turn off CNN and Fox News. Oh, it just riles me up when I watch it. Amen.